Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to WIP Morning Show. It is a Monday morning after one of the most embarrassing performances by a Philadelphia sports team in recent memory. And we are here today to emote. And I'm just going to start. I'm just going to ask every fan. I'm going to ask every fan right now. Here's what I want to ask you. Are you angry? Answer, most likely yes.
Mm-hmm.
Second, at who? At whom? Are you going to point the finger at? At what? A 37-10 blitzing of the Philadelphia Eagles, their porous defense, their completely sporadic offense, their pitiful special teams, and their dreadful coaching. It was a complete and total disaster last night in Dallas, Texas. And we today will identify the people that we should be ripping apart, and then we will do what we do best in this city. We will rip them apart. Keith Jones is back after. Boy, you timed this great, Jonesy.
Yeah, thank you. There's a long list here.
And I just got to tell you, I'm not going to ignore the fact that many people throughout this nation are considering us part of what happened last night.
Right.
And I will not, Al, I will not duck it. I will not try to pretend it didn't happen. Although I will say that Doug Peterson on this show last Monday at 8 a.m., provided the fodder, the inspiration to a dead carcass of a team, the Dallas Cowboys, until they were revived and tore the Eagles' heads off. It did start here, and it did start with Doug. Here's what he said.
We're going down to Dallas, and our guys are going to be ready to play. And we're going to win that football game. And when we do, we're in first place in the NFC East. We control our own destiny. We're right where we need to be.
Pretty much none of that happened except them going to Dallas. All right, they were not prepared at all for that game. He provided the Cowboys with a rallying cry, and they just demolished. There was not one aspect of that game, Al, correct me if I'm wrong, there was not a single aspect of that game in which the Eagles were better than the Cowboys.
Punting?
And nowhere at all.
Punting?
The bottom line is, this Philadelphia Eagles team embarrassed themselves. They embarrassed this city. They called into question for the first time since the parade the competency of their head coach. If he had not won that Super Bowl 2 years ago, Al, there would right now be protests for him to be fired. There would be.
I've done it long enough.
He might have been fired based on what happened yesterday. That's how bad it was. And now I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why. I started to feel this last week. We had on Jason Kelce. And I said to Jason Kelce, we even played his speech at the Art Museum steps. And I went, you know, the whole thing was, you know, hungry dogs. They want to eat.
Yeah.
They're hungry. You got to feed them. Are you guys hungry anymore? And he gave a detailed answer, which really kind of, you know, avoided the, they're not hungry. Do you understand? They are not hungry. They don't care that much. Now, Jonesy, you played in this town.
Yep.
Is there a worse thing you could say in the city of Philadelphia than you didn't care?
There is nothing worse, and there's nothing worse you can do than play like they played last night because they played like they didn't care. That's the problem. They All can right. say it. Right. They can hide it. They can disguise it, but you can't hide it on the field. And they were just absolutely brutal last night.
Wow. I was embarrassed to be an Eagles fan. I'm saying this right now to you. I was embarrassed to be a fan. I did not stay till the end of the game because I have to get up really early, and I couldn't take any more torture.
Well, what were you going to see after that?
It was so bad. You knew by halftime there was zero chance of a comeback.
It's 100% right. Yeah.
And you did spare yourself. If you went to bed at halftime, you spared yourself an extraordinary moment of I don't give a bleep by Nelson Aguilar, which we will get to a little later. We'll get to a little later. But I want you to understand something. Many teams in this city try to control the message by controlling their voices. I'm pleased to tell you the Eagles organization does not in any way suppress either Merrill Reese or Mike Quick. And it was a three-hour litany on how disastrous last night were. Here's a sample of Merrill Reese early in the game talking about the performance of the team he was covering.
What a nightmarish beginning for the Eagles. They work and prepare all week. They talk about getting off to a quick start. And here we are with less than 6 minutes gone in this football game, and the Eagles are about to trail by two touchdowns.
Now, how did that happen? All right, first of all, it was a very productive conversation we had with Doug last week, right? Because he also revealed he was not going to defer this time.
No.
Won the toss, didn't defer. It was about 3 minutes in when I wish he had. Because a little pass to Goddard. They did seem to have a nice little drive going.
They did.
Throws it to Goddard. Goddard gets smashed. Again, the impact. Those Cowboys were headhunting.
They hit hard, didn't they?
They were hitting people. They wanted that game. Rhea, I'm going to tell you right now, early in that game watching it, I kept thinking about Doug giving them the motivation. They weren't hitting like that against the Jets when they lost to that awful team. No, they were completely motivated in this game. Thank you, Doc.
They were the more desperate team.
Without a doubt. They cared more. They wanted it more. They were ready to play more. All the things we expect of our teams, they were last night. And we were basically their tackling dummy. That's all. They just pummeled
us. That's 100%
right. Pummeled our team into submission. And then, just so you know, Merrill's theme of how embarrassing it was just continued throughout the game right to the end. Listen.
An absolutely embarrassing performance in front of the nation tonight. We still have 9:33 remaining, and the Eagles are trailing by 27 points.
That's the best. That is the best.
You almost have to laugh at that.
That's great. Right?
I don't know.
He's already proclaiming it a huge embarrassment. And there's still almost half a quarter to play.
That's really
good. It was just pathetic. Awful, pathetic, horrible. And I want to deal directly right away today with how motivated or unmotivated the Philadelphia Eagles were to play a game that was huge, in the standings, huge. You could have put your foot on the neck of a Cowboys team facing lots of injuries. They recover a lot quicker than we do, by the way.
Yeah.
Facing lots of injuries and a much tougher schedule the rest of the way. Much tougher schedule. And the Eagles had nothing. They just showed up and said, pummel us. Pummel us.
Yeah, they allowed it to happen.
And after the game, Doug did address his own comments and the apparent lack of motivation of his team.
Obviously, it starts with me. And when you wake up and come into the building every day, you got to come there ready to work, ready to prepare. And it's with everybody. It's just not, you know, you're not pointing a finger at one group or one person. It's everybody. It's me included. And that's the message. That's just the message that we got to continue to prepare like we've been doing, put in the hard work, put in the time, and get ourselves ready for another game.
Jonesy, isn't he saying that they weren't doing it?
Yeah, he isn't. At the same time, he's saying that they are. Like, that was a very mixed message there. Like,
Ray Dittiger did a riff. He'll be out at 7. Ray did a riff after the game where he basically said this loss started in the preparation.
It did.
They weren't ready. The other team was ready.
Yes.
They were not mentally ready. They were not motivated to play the game. They did not have a good game plan, and no aspect of their team was prepared to face a Cowboys team that was highly motivated.
And you ask yourself, how?
Yeah.
Right?
How?
They just got
blown out in the last,
and they just got blown out by Minnesota with a game that they didn't look like they were involved in as well.
No.
They had all the reason in the world to play a motivated game, and they did not.
And here's the best part. They know it, right? Most of the guys on this team are champions. They won a championship in this town.
Yeah.
They got to see, they experienced the rarity of that parade and all that went into it and the joy for months in this city. And Zach Ertz, who is still on the team.
Is he still playing?
I asked you before to check the roster. He is still
what
on the team.
What is that?
After the game was over, they threw him the ball a couple of times.
Oh, nice.
They didn't bother to do it when it mattered, but they did near the end of the game. He had two catches in the whole game.
Yeah.
All right, but here's Zach Ertz talking about how bad it was and how he understands what this means in our city. Listen.
I mean, tonight was embarrassing. One of the most embarrassing games I've ever been a part of here in Philly. Take a lot of pride playing for the Eagles. Take a lot of pride playing for this city. We took one on the chin today against a team that we hate. Simple as that. Feel bad for the fans, honestly. It's a pitiful performance.
I feel bad for the fans.
Yeah,
it's a pitiful performance.
Well said.
And let me just say, he had a pitiful performance. Right? He has owned DeMarcus Lawrence. He has owned him. The key play in the entire game, Jonesy, Wentz's fumble. Right?
Yeah.
Second possession.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Lawrence blew right past Lane Johnson and smacked the arm of Wentz before he could release the ball. And they had a recovery inside the 20 in the red zone. It's 14-0.
Yeah, and then Johnson just kind of stood there and stared at it. It was
Johnson
just the weirdest play.
Johnson was like, is the game, wasn't this a Monday night game? Am I here a night too early? I'm not ready to play this game. He wasn't ready.
He was not ready at all.
He was not ready.
No.
Now, one other guy. Right. So Johnson's their best lineman on that side of the ball, especially with Peters out. Other side of the ball is Fletcher Cox. All right, Al, you're going to believe this. The day, last Friday, he's doing an interview with Mike Sielski, the columnist for Inquirer.com. And he says to Mike, he says, these are the kind of games. The team that wins is the team that wants it more.
Mm-hmm.
Fletcher Cox in the first half, when the Eagles fell behind 27-7, the fifth time in seven games, the defense has allowed 20 points in the first half, more than any other team in football. Right? Now, some of that was bad positioning because of turnovers, but the numbers don't lie. Five of the seven games, six of the seven, the Eagles have trailed by 10 points or more in the first half. The only exception being the Jets, who did not have a professional quarterback
that day.
All right, so that's all going on. He says the team that wants it more is a team that's going to win the game. At the half, when it was 27-7, Fletcher Cox, the best player on the defensive line, the highest paid player on the team, had zero everything. He didn't make. Ezekiel Elliott was running amok, Rhea, and Fletcher Cox, you didn't even know he was on the field.
Now, what you kept hearing was he's real, you know, and we saw it, good in the run game. They literally allowed 116 more yards than they normally do.
No effort. But
none.
Where was he? Didn't he say the team that wanted it more was going to win? Did he want it? Did Fletcher Cox want to play football?
It didn't appear any of them
did. Not appear. Later in the game, he got his first sack when it meant nothing.
Where was he when they went for it on the goal line, first down? They knew they're going to give the ball to Elliott. Everybody
right
knew he was going to get the touchdown,
because,
and he walked right in the end zone.
Walked right in.
The quarterback sneak with Prescott. He went for 8 yards on a quarterback sneak. They couldn't bring him down.
On a quarterback sneak. Pollard, the backup guy, scoots around two bad tackles and gets 9 yards. No, every single play was a lack of freaking effort. They didn't care. They did not care who won that game. It's a joke in this city. Not acceptable. Not acceptable. So finally, Al, Cox talked afterwards. Now, this is, you know what? I'll say this. I think if there was a bag ready, he would have put it over his head after this game. Yeah. Listen.
I think we had a good week of practice, but, you know, I mean, having a good week of practice and still taking the loss on Sunday, you know, you throw it all out the window. You know, we just got embarrassed on national TV, and, you know, that's just the truth. We got embarrassed, and, you know, they kicked our ass, if you want to know the truth.
We got embarrassed on national TV. They kicked their ass. Well, there's only one question a fan wants to ask after
why?
That. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? How does that happen? Why? And what are you going to do about it? And that's what we'll try to explore today. Now, one programming note, Al, because of the late, the earlier hour, the Eagles got in about 5:30 within the past hour. Doug Peterson will be on tomorrow morning. And my guess is he will be less confident in his appraisal of his team than he was last week. But here are your numbers. This is a day for you to just vent your spleen. I just did. I'm dying to hear what the fans have to say today, who they want to blame and what they want to do about it, because you were embarrassed. Everybody who loves sports in this town, we were all embarrassed by what we saw last night in Dallas. 888-729-9494, WIP Sports Time, 650.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.